Episode 93.
We know technicians learn hands-on, and that's why a mentor and a mentee apprenticeship program is huge for our industry, because we know that these guys learn with their hands. That's the type of people they are. And so we've got to formulate a plan to make that happen.
Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio's audio replay of this face-to-face video roundtable.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to Remarkable Results Radio and Episode 93, the audio-only rebroadcast of the face-to-face video podcast. Now, this episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts, with brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the Parts Tech's Trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Is it time to formalize a quality apprentice program in your shop? Well, you've come to the right place. This very powerful discussion will give you a ton of great ideas and resources to stem the technician shortage. And those are some pretty big words. Now, learn about a new apprentice mentoring guide and why there is a push to formalize one. The very unique ASLA, the American Skilled Labor Association program from Mike Davidson, and how it can impact this critical need in our industry. Learn about why company culture is critical to anyone who joins your company and how to write better want ads. Learn about structuring comp programs for apprentice and mentor, involve your team in deciding on an apprentice candidate, and so much more. This episode is jammed with enduring ideas to help your business grow and prosper as the technician shortage looms for many shop owners today. Now, here's Mike Davidson from Parkway Automotive in Little Rock, Arkansas, Bogey Latiner from 180 Degree Automotive in Phoenix, Arizona, and Joe Seifert from I-70 Auto Service in Kansas City, Missouri. Buckle up. Here we go. Hello, podcast and Remarkable Results audience. Glad to have you here. Carm Capriotto. Now, our purpose today is to openly discuss technician mentoring. It's a huge subject today in our industry, with the serious lack of qualified technicians in the auto care industry. And this lends itself to the grow your own top talent strategy to bring on apprentices into the business and groom them to be top techs. So meet my round table. Meet my square table. Mike Davidson from Parkway Automotive in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mike's an AMI graduate, an ASE master technician. Mike tells all about his great business in episode 52. It's worth the listen, because he talks about his hiring program called Hiring for Keeps, and learn how it made a huge impact on his hiring methods and practice. Mike was also with me in episode 73. But Mike, let's just see what we can make out of this square table instead of a round table. Huge subject in our industry about mentoring technicians into our businesses. So you just told me off record here that you've been in a seminar for a few days, and one of the big subjects that you spent 3.5 hours is an apprentice program, right?
Yes, that's right. Been out with Elite Worldwide, which is the CEO of Elite Worldwide is Bob Cooper. He's been well known in the industry for years and years and years. And along with his help with Jim Murphy some years ago, actually last year, it was introduced to the Pro Service colleagues, an apprentice program guide. Prior to that actually happening, I had been working on an association, a nonprofit association that I'm sure we can get into when you're ready, called ASLA. But for our purposes today, we spent a good amount of time with 90 colleagues from across the country. And we had not just a discussion, but actual assignments that need to be completed by the end of the week, because we believe the first step that is required for any shop to have a good apprentice program is to identify a mentor. That's step one. And so we spent some time giving those guidelines and giving ideas to the shop owners as to how they would find their mentor in their facility, and then they're to come back in some meetings that take place throughout the country in the spring, which is really, you know, just it's pretty close, about maybe 8 weeks away, that they'll begin.
So you got homework. but this homework is really business improvement work.
The homework is specifically for the purpose of identifying a mentor within your organization, identifying a pay structure that would work. And what we're challenging all the colleagues to do is to go back and have those discussions with their technicians so that they can come back with what they've discovered so the process can actually begin.
Okay, we got mentors, we have mentees. And the key to the whole concept is to be able to find a young, bright, energetic individual. And I've heard some great stories from my podcast guests that sometimes people walk in and says, hey, I'll work for a great wage. Teach me all that you can. And the story goes on. After a few years, they become incredibly valuable. And they didn't really realize, oh, my God, yeah, I was really mentoring a candidate. So mentors are people within the company that need to be responsible for the apprentice. And where do we find the mentees or the apprentices, Mike?
I can tell you that they're out there in a lot larger number than you might think. There are a good number of people that are leaving the armed services that are available. They've been trained to work on wheeled vehicles and airplanes, and they're trying to get in the industry. There's certainly veterans. There's people that are making choices not to go to college, but maybe they've completed high school or GED. And the first thing that they do is you realize is they really love cars. You know, there's still a good number of people out there that really love cars. And so, you know, finding those people, and I think this is the thing about our culture and in our country that has caused what we would say is a shortage of technicians, and that is leadership in the home. The fatherless homes are rampant, and so to have a direction for these young people to have a place to go, and I'm just really referring to the model that used to be, you know, the children followed their parents. And primarily this is a man dominated industry, and not that there are women getting into it. So I'm not talking to exclude them. I'm just talking how our culture has always had the boys follow their father, and now there's no father in the home. And so there's no leadership there for them to follow a path.
Okay.
So we've got to create that path.
And well said, and very well thought out, because I know you're very passionate about that. The students that are coming out of the colleges, are they worthwhile candidates to come into your shop as an apprentice?
The colleagues that I talk to across the country, you will find one or two technical schools that actually can produce a person that can come in. I think some of the misunderstanding that occurs even at the tech school level is that graduate has no knowledge of what's required of him when he steps inside my shop. And so that information is not being communicated. And so there's this idea that I've graduated from tech school. I've spent 2 years working in classroom and shop, but I really don't know what my employer is going to expect of me when I get there. And so the point there is that we know technicians learn hands-on, and that's why a mentor and a mentee apprenticeship program is huge for our industry, because we know that these guys learn with their hands. That's the type of people they are. And so we've got to formulate a plan to make that happen.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. Bogey, are you there?
I'm here, I think, sound-wise, no camera, though.
That's okay. We could probably live with that, Bogey. Welcome.
All right.
I know that...
I apologize. Technical difficulties.
That's okay.
You sound great.
Yeah, you do sound great. Bogey Latiner from 180 Degree Automotive, one of the featured guests today. As pieces of her career came together, Bogey began to see that her passion was not simply to fix cars, but to empower others to fix cars, especially women. Bogey also does business coaching, holds car care classes for women, speaks on a wide range of subjects, and is working on the fifth season as one of the three girl crew in the Velocity Channel show, All Girl Garage. Bogey's in episode 27 and in episode 74. Nice to hear you again.
Nice to see you guys.
All right. Well, we started because my audience is worthy of making sure that we start on time, Bogey. So I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
You know, Mike started to talk about where the candidates are coming from and maybe a little bit of what the breakup in the family unit may be and trying to get people to walk into their parents' footsteps. Yet, we have to find apprentice candidates to come inside of this industry. And someone said to me in an interview that I had this week, I was sharing with them, with Tom Palermo, actually. And he says, Carm, you may have to kiss a few frogs in order to catch a prince. And I thought that was so profound. And what do you think of that statement, Bogey?
Well, I think that's incredibly accurate. We have an active mentoring program here at the shop, and I've been through probably... 14, 15 technician apprentices. Of those, two turned out to be fantastic technicians. And one of them has been with me for 6 years now since graduating the apprenticeship program and is a phenomenal technician. But before getting to her, I had to kind of go through a number of technicians or apprentices, I should say, that just didn't have the skills or just didn't fit with our corporate culture.
Got it. Bogey, in your case, did you pick an individual in your shop to be the mentor of the mentee?
We've gone through a couple of different manifestations of this. Originally, I was the mentor of the mentees. Now I just don't have the time for that, unfortunately. So I've kind of trained my shop foreman to take over that position. And it takes a specific technician to be able to do the mentoring. And you have to mentor them in order for them to be able to be a good mentor.
So here I am. I'm in my audience. I'm recognizing and realizing that I need to build a program like this. And we're looking for Joe. Maybe Joe can join us right now. I'll rephrase my question here in a second. Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay.
I'm such a happy.
Sorry, folks.
I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
Joe Sievert from.
Yeah, the table is now round.
It is now round. Very good, Mike. Thank you for picking up on that. Joe Sievert from I-70 Auto Service in Kansas City, Missouri, received a very high honor from NAPA in 2014 as their NAPA ASE Tech of the Year. He is also Kansas City ASA Chapter President and was an ASA Top Shop in 2010. By his own words, he's a techie geek, but he couldn't make his microphone work. Aha. Uh-huh. I-7.
Sure, at least I'm not the only one.
I-70 is a 7-bay 6-lift facility in good old KC. Listen to Joe in his own episode 50. What my question was going to be is, you know, creation of an ideal candidate to come on in into an apprentice program, do you have to have, does this individual in their own hands have to have the right job description? They have to understand, or do you have to understand the skill levels, the competency, the ASE milestones you have to pick? It's almost like there needs to be this whiteboard plan to bring someone in, and then it works, and then it doesn't. You tweak it, and you change it. How is the evolution of the apprentice program work in your mind? Joe, you've told me that you've tried a few, and you've had your challenges. So, Joe, if someone walks in and they sit down and you want to build this apprentice program, is it best to give a complete outline of what you're trying to do or just try to assimilate them into the shop with a secret plan?
No, I think you have to have a plan and a schedule for them. Something that I'm trying now is to have them to kind of start off with, like, my mission statement,
oh, okay.
Vision
yeah,
statement.
The culture of the company, yeah.
And start from there and get the culture of the business going. in the past, I've had an issue starting out with them and just going straight into, you know, working on cars and processes. And from now on, I'm going to start going back and spending more time with the character building, the shop culture.
Got it.
And proceed from that point.
So does the candidate need to know the exact pathway? Everybody says that they have an apprentice program, and maybe, Mike, you're the best to talk about this since you've just been in a class about it. It seems to me that there's got to be a formal, almost a process written. I need to look at this career that's facing me when I join. I'm the person who becomes the apprentice. I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the total know, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's been designed, myself, Bob Cooper, Joe Marconi, and Jim Perano, we spent the last couple of years actually building an apprentice program guide that lays specific tracks to run on, both for the mentor and the apprentice. So there's 42 specific items that the mentor will take the apprentice through. It takes about 2 years. Is our estimation. It includes ASC testing along the way. But what you just mentioned has actually been done, and it is called the Apprentice Program Guide that us four men spent the time writing. And so what I did is I took this Apprentice Program Guide and I adopted it. It was with Bob Cooper's blessing into the American Skilled Labor Association. Because when I discovered that the Department of Labor Office of Apprenticeships actually had money available to pay the shops back, I began a process over a year and a half ago of putting together the nonprofit association so that we could actually have access to those funds and get those funds funneled back into the shops for the apprentice program. Yeah. It's been written. It's done. And it's called the Apprentice Program.
Excellent, Mike. There's a comment on the right about the secret plan. And I guess the reason that I said it is this. It's possible that an awful lot of shop owners just hire someone. That's my apprentice, but don't tell anyone. And they hope for the best without literally realizing that in order to do something in a very big and formal way, grow your own top talent, the individual has to know. So I said it kind of tongue in cheek to the point that there may be too much of the wrong stuff going on out there. And the dialogue in our industry needs to say that when you're going to bring on a young individual, they need to get Mike's report so they have a roadmap to success.
I was just going to say that it all starts, and Bogie made the really great point when she first came on about the people that she's hiring and to fit her culture. Because so when we're talking about someone being a mentor, there's some specific character traits that they need to have in order to be a mentor. It can't be just because they're your top producer or they're your top tech and somehow you're going to be able to duplicate that person. This person has to have a passion for the industry. They have to have good written and verbal communication skills. They have to have patience. They have to have a willingness to share the natural tendencies and to encourage others. They have to have a thorough understanding of your process you have in your organization. And that mentor has to be very teachable and coachable. And so when you identify those, and some of the best ways that we've discovered to do that is just to begin talking to your staff. Take your technicians out to dinner. Have a conversation with them about an apprentice program. Begin to spend time with them, and you will find that you can identify the person that you may not think is that mentor could very well be your mentor because he fits the traits that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
So that's the start. That's step one. And then step two, I'm telling you that there are apprentices out there. And if go to the technical schools and you show that teacher or that instructor that you actually have a path for their student, because every teacher wants their student to succeed. And so they're going to give you their top guy if you are a girl, if you have taken the time to show, you're welcome, if you have taken the time to show them that you have a path, because that's what they're looking for. So the Apprentice Program Guide is that path. And ASLA is that path.
I love it. It's a formalized process that would probably create more success than not only in recruitment, but in value, at the end of the day, value. I love my audience, and there was a question here, and it may be really premature we're only 19 minutes in. Is there any way that a mentor could get a bonus for qualifying the apprentice through the program? But Bogey, absolutely. What do you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I've done it a couple of different ways, and it really depends on how much experience my apprentice has. If they're starting out green, I've done it where any hours that they flag actually go towards the mentor's hourly, towards their flat rate. Okay. Once they hit a certain threshold, then I kind of put them out on their own, and the mentor will get additional dollars per hour because I know that time is coming out of their day to help their mentee. So now at this point, for the most part, I'm hiring apprentices who have gone to tech school, at least who have graduated, have some book smarts, at least if not hands-on. And I generally will, while they're in the apprenticeship program, they start out at $2 less per hour, and my mentor gets $2 more per hour as long as he's an active member. Mentor, excuse me.
Got it.
And it works out nicely. Works out nicely.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Finding the connection between the mentor to the skill level, the competency, is that really critical?
Rephrase that for me. I'm not sure.
The apprentice comes in and you do an evaluation or an assessment. You either talk to their instructor or you realize maybe this person's totally green. Will that affect who the mentor is?
In my shop currently, I just have one person who is able to be a mentor. However, that being said, it's become such a part of our culture that we mentor and bring in apprentices that it is my whole team mentors them. They really are all part of that process. And I bring them in on that process in the evaluation. So the way our program works is I will interview, I'll get 50 applications for tech students who want to come and get experience. I'll interview them. I'll narrow it down to about 4 or 5. Then I have them each come in for about a 2-hour working interview. And I let my team make the decision on who they think has the skill set and who they think will be a good fit with the team. So then the rest of my technicians already have ownership and they feel like this is their candidate. They picked them. They want them to win. So even though I've got one main mentor who's my shop foreman who does all the official mentoring, the rest of the team, they have ownership of that candidate succeeding. And so they're all very helpful and take part in the training.
Joe, how about you?
What we're doing, Carm, similar to what Bogey's saying there, is in the past I was doing most all the mentoring. And then you get so busy in the business part of it, I'm being pulled away quite a bit. So what I'm doing now is I'm taking care of the mentoring of the culture and how the systems all work. And then I pass it on to one of my lead young technicians. And we're going through this process right now. And he, I spent the first 2 weeks with our new technician. Now he's working under Andy. And then Andy gets paid the flag times that the new technician gets. And I'm just paying the new technician an hourly wage right now. And it works fine. And they team together. And the new tech also learns the systems through watching Andy.
So let me ask a question about assessments. You've got an apprentice. It's really going great. Is it an every 2 week sit down that you want to take a look at what was learned, what the success or failure rates of projects that were given? Because nobody's going to do anything perfect right out of the chute. What's that like? How often is it? And what's that like?
I think it's an everyday thing. Okay. To a degree. There is a little bit more formalized the way we do it. We do have a full checklist similar to what Mike was talking about. Not the same one, but we have a full checklist that my shop foreman is going through and checking off as the mentee achieves certain skills. Okay. And so that's kind of on a daily basis. I'm checking in with them on a daily basis, making sure that the relationship is going well, that the mentee is feeling like she's able to learn from the mentor. It's an ongoing, constant touching base. And then as you get deeper in, then it becomes more weekly, biweekly, until they're just a regular employee and they're on an annual review schedule like everybody else.
Annual reviews. I've read so much about that, by the way. I just want to let you know. Annual reviews, I think, are going away to... You know, a lot of just-in-time stuff, or at least quarterly. Mike, you've been quiet for a few moments, maybe on purpose. Yeah. You came in and out. Give us a little bit more of the great take-up that you had recently in the class you went to.
Yeah. Well, what we've developed over these last couple of years under the Apprentice Program Guide is an actual technician. It's just a technician career path guide. And so it actually gives the technician some clarity on each accomplishment. And as he goes through there, the apprentice has to demonstrate to the mentor that he's actually accomplished these items. And so in regards to how they're paid, and I just want to touch on that briefly, no matter what plan you put in place, make sure that. So we want to give it a 30-day or 60-day or 90-day time period that you reevaluate. Is it staying within the margins you need, or what is it really costing you to have that apprentice plan? Because it will cost. So getting those guys together and getting them on a path. Now, as far as checkups, we designed a report card every 30 days. Where the mentor puts together an actual report card for that apprentice that goes in his file. But we don't just talk about what he's accomplished with his hands. We're also talking about, is he at work on time, his personal hygiene, his ability to understand what's going on, to comprehend what's being taught, just his engagement in the learning process. And so that's done every 30 days. That goes in his file as well. And so again, we have this very clear path for the apprentice, for the mentor, with these checkpoints, if you will. Is he on the right path?
I love the discussion about culture. And what I have recently read a couple of books on culture. I'm a leadership junkie as far as books go. And it says the minute you hire one new person into your company, the culture of your company changes. Because there's a new dynamic. So you have to be so careful on that person that you hire, because the cultural fit in your mind has to be so close. And if not, and you disturb the force, if you will, then you have to make a real quick decision. So I love what you said, Joe, is that you take care of the culture in the beginning. Because if you see the fit may not be there, how you run your business, what it means to the world, what your customers come there for, and how the team works together, just because you found a candidate who may do the job and be there, they may not fit. And I think that's so important, right, Bogey?
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point that mentorship is not just for apprentices. That really any time we bring a new person into our organization, we want to team them up with a mentor that's, sure, they may be a 20-year technician, but they don't know our playbook. They don't know our corporate culture. They don't know how we do things. And so in order to help them succeed or increase the chances of their success within our organization, I don't care how many years of experience you have or how fantastic of a technician you are. I want to pair you up with one of my senior staff members, and I want them to show you the ropes of how we work and what our corporate culture is.
Joe, yeah, huh? I mean, because that's what you're saying.
We see the same thing as you bring in a seasoned technician and he's used to working at a different facility that is completely different than our culture. And so there's a process of teaching them that also. At our lunch and learn just this last Wednesday, we spent 45 minutes going over the company culture. And I read word for word, 3 pages to my whole staff. And it's probably the best team meeting we've ever had. Everybody left, they bought into it. So we'll see from this point on where our culture goes with our 2 new staff members.
I can't say that I've not done that myself. Yeah, I get it. Mike, what do you think of that culture?
Yeah, so it goes back to identifying that person as, you know, if we went back to the hiring for keeps that I went through with you some time ago, and just identifying that person or culture. And Bogie may not know this, but she has a second location in Little Rock because ours sounds very familiar with the hiring process, of having the whole team be a part of that. And so through the hiring for keeps, where we've taken and designed specific questions to find out their behavior in the past, because it's you hire people for what they know, you fire them for who they are. And so if we can identify who they are prior to hiring them, that's how we're going to determine they're a fit for our culture. So your interview process has to include a way to determine what has been their past behavior. And so the hiring for keeps process helps determine that. And I'm actually going to be doing that hiring for keeps coming up over the next few months for the ASA chapters throughout the Midwest. And I think one of them is for Kansas City. That's I believe I saw that on the schedule. Sherry Hamilton knows when I'm doing them all. I don't.
I'll see you there.
She knows. Well, yeah. I just interviewed Sherry, and her episode, you'll know the day we're recording this, it was released yesterday. And well, good for you, Mike. I'm glad you're going to go out there and be an evangelist for your passion on this. Excellent. Mike, you had mentioned earlier ASLA, and I promised, Mike, that we would do an episode on that. Can you just give us a 2-minute overview of what ASLA is?
So about a year and a half ago, I started the association called American Skilled Labor Association. It's now a 501c3 corporation, okay. Nonprofit. All right. I've established a board of directors and work by the federal government for an apprentice program through the Department of Labor. We can then enroll shops and apprentices into the program, and they will get money back for training, because the cost of training an apprentice, as I've crunched my numbers in our apprentice program, where my gross profit percentage for a technician is usually around, I'm hovering around 62-63%. Gross profit when I combined the production of those two individuals versus my cost. And
should what about the being afraid of the investment of a serious apprentice mentoring plan in the business? Does an owner, a shop owner, say, I can't do this, just let me go out and hold out for an A or a B tech?
Well, I guess my question to that individual would be, if you're going to hire if you're going to hire somebody without a plan, you're gambling. And there's a very good chance that you're just throwing away your money. And so if you hire a master tech and you don't have a plan for integrating them into your culture, and you're just hoping that it works out and throw them sink or swim, odds are you're going to be spending a whole lot of money to keep them employed for however long you keep them until that you find out that they don't work, or until you've broken them, right? By not giving them a good plan and a good organization. If you go with an apprenticeship program, you get to hire somebody who maybe doesn't have as much experience. You don't necessarily have to pay as much, and you get to raise them up exactly the way you want them. And so it's a lesser investment. And if you do it right, if you build it out and plan it and don't just kind of go in willy-nilly and say, oh, I'm going to hire an apprentice, but I have no plan for this. If you do it right, it can be incredibly successful, and you get the perfect fit for your culture because you raised them up.
Bogie, you are – I've been in a couple of your seminars. You've been on the podcast before. So you get out there and you're really connected. How many shops – have a strong, solid mentoring program? They may not even know it, that they really have one. Is this so new? What's going on?
I don't think I don't think it's new, but I think that there is a push to formalize it now. There's always been apprenticeship programs, so to speak, but they weren't necessarily called that. It was just you started out as the shop kid. And you swept the floors, right, and you picked up cigarette butts in the parking lot. And as you showed that you were interested, the owner or the shop foreman would slowly say, all right, let me show you how to do brakes. And so it was kind of informal. And now there's this, I think, the realization that we have a serious shortage of technicians in our industry. And finding techs is really difficult, that people are really coming around to this idea of we have to raise them up. And so there's a desire to seek out a formalized apprenticeship.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down. And that I think is like the biggest takeaway from this episode is that it's time to formalize. And when I talk to shop owners that used to still have gas stations, some of them, there's a very few that have pumps, but many of them that started in the business and they grew up in the business, they said, I found my techs because I hired my guys to pump gas. And they and they hung around and we showed them things. And in so many industries today where the business model has changed and technology has changed, there isn't the bench sitting inside the organization ready to cream up, to be recognized, to come inside. So, a formalized, disciplined program by saying, I need a new – and I – How many entrepreneurs that do I ask, where are you getting your techs? Oh, it's my biggest problem. Are you growing your own? Yeah, we are. And again, I think the yeah, we are means I'm not sure I really have the right way to do it.
Right. Well, and I think it's interesting too, because there's also a whole group of shops or a whole large percentage of shops that are afraid of hiring apprentices who don't like green or new and really avoid hiring young techs as much as possible at all costs. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition, because I talk to especially female technicians, but kids in general, male or female, coming out of tech school, who are hungry to learn, who want the experience, who are pounding down my doors trying to get an opportunity, and I just can't hire all of them. But there are kids out there who want this, and they're having the darndest time getting their foot in the door because nobody seems to want to give them a shot. And that's ultimately what we need an apprenticeship program for, is to open the door and give some kids a chance.
Joe, the reality of a person coming out of college with a 4-year bachelor's degree that starts to look for a job, and all it says in every one of the ads, experience necessary, experience necessary, experience necessary. And they're so frustrated because today a bachelor's degree is no better than a high school diploma. God, I just put two kids through college, and I know that that's the frustration. Maybe the word apprentice almost needs to be put in those ads by saying, hey, you know, if you've got the skills, the competencies, desire, and you're willing to, you know, jump into an exciting culture, then apply here.
Yeah, Parm, we just had a class the other day with our business coach on this topic, and it's more now about writing your one ads different than what we did before, you know, as far as what we wanted. It was always about, you know, what we want. You need to have this. You need to have that. And now we need to look back at that and rewrite it, and especially for the millennials. One of the things that I wanted to add to this conversation was, for all of us shop owners to start getting involved in mentoring back at the high school level and the high school tech level. So I've been spending a lot of time there helping out these young males and females in mock interviews and teaching them culture at that point and inviting them to our tech training that we're having to get them more involved at that level. And then you're able to grow them from in there. And they might, when you have that opening, their teacher has a list of the top shops in the Kansas City area to distribute the technicians out that aren't pursuing the college education.
That's huge today.
We talked about that, Carm, on our last face-to-face, and it kind of came down to not just talking to the kids, but really getting the message out to the guidance counselors and the teachers and the parents that being a technician is not just for the kids that can't get into college. it's a viable career path for any student and for any kid, and we need the good kids, we need to attract the brains and the smarts because our cars are super computer controlled now.
So Bogey, we had that great episode. And I think it was your episode where I said, well, why don't we have, you know, a night out thing? And, you know, here's the scripted, the industry, everybody from the entire automotive aftermarket is going to go out and talk to a PTA, guidance counselor, get in front of a classroom, Joe, exactly what you're doing. Be it the, in New York State here, we have the thing called BOCES. It's a cooperative extension for technical schools at the high school level. We've got the college level. And I ran it by Donnie Cipher. And he said, you know what? We've probably talked about this, but Carm, thanks for the push. Maybe, and I'm not taking all the credit, but I said, we've got to have this. And I said, and then after I thought it through, this one dayer, it's got to be a one weeker. And we've got to say that between this date and this date, this is what you got to go out and do. We got to go out and spread the word to the industry that the high-tech jobs are here. Listen to my two podcasts that we just released on the Connected Car Part 1 and 2. If you want to get geeked out, Joe, if you've not listened to these things, get out a real thick pad of yellow paper and start writing some of these most profound things that have come out of these geeks that observe and look at the industry of connectivity and security and talking cars and OBD2 ports. And it is a very eye-opening seminar. And it says our jobs are secure, but we better start learning how to work on these computers that have four wheels on. And I think we just maybe went off into a different direction. And we're here to talk about...
We always do.
Yeah, we always do. Mentoring. You know, I always send a note out to my guests before. And I said, if this place, if the episode finds its own world and its own legs, let it go. Right? Great. Well, so what haven't we covered that we really should, that anyone wants to contribute here?
Carm, one of the things that I do in our mentoring, I have each one of my young technicians start out, like, for instance, I had my BG guy come in, and he shows each one of them how to use each piece of equipment versus having one of my technicians do that. Same thing is I'll book time with All Data, Mitchell, Identifix, and have them train them versus me or my technicians. Mm-hmm. And that's a, you know, basically a whole week going through. And at the same time, we'll use our NAPA online training to do all of our safety training.
That goes back to the deliberate plan. That goes back to a well-crafted, written down, timelined, milestone-driven plan. And you may not meet the timelines or the milestones exactly the way you want. So you have that flexibility to, you know, to move things out, and, you know, things happen, life happens. So it may not work perfectly, but without a plan, you've got nothing. Great point. Bogey, anything we didn't cover you'd like to say?
I just want to go back to kind of the process of finding the right apprentice in the first place. And because I think that is so important, and where, you know, the best laid plans go by the wayside if we don't have a plan for finding the right applicant and the right apprentice. And so I just wanted to go back to that a little bit. I'm curious how Joe's kind of gone about doing that. I'm curious to hear how Mike goes about cultivating those applications, because I know how we do it, but I'm curious to hear how other people do it.
What I would probably say, there's so much I want to say about that, but maybe if you could get in touch with Sherry Hamilton and get dialed into one of the ASA meetings, because that's, I'm going to be going through that whole process that I do for hiring that includes a program I call Hiring for Keeps. You're going to want to see and hear about that.
Okay, so that's another episode we're going to do together.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd just share some of it right now, Mike. On, but okay, Mike. I'll take
it. No, wait a minute. Mike says, listen, you got to buy the tickets and come to the movie. I'm not going to tell you the whole plot.
That's right.
Well, yeah. At this point, I've created enough of a corporate culture and enough of a reputation in my community that I don't need to go out and look for apprentices. I get applications on a regular basis, and I'm kind of constantly getting that. However, I talk to other shops that struggle with that. And so, you know, for us, it was about creating a good relationship with the technical school in our area. It was about creating a buzz about our business in our community so that people knew, hey, 180 Auto is the shop where they give people an opportunity, particularly where they give young female techs an opportunity that other shops might say no to. So I have that reputation, and now I regularly get messages saying, hey, I'm a girl in tech school, and I heard that you're the place to go to. So I don't have to seek them out. A lot of shops are still having that trouble of going, okay, I have a plan. I have my checklist. I have my mentor all set up. Where do I find the mentees? So I don't know, Joe, how have you gone about doing that? I'm just kind of curious to share with our listeners.
It's coming from the tech schools here and being involved in helping them out, okay. Inviting the young men and women to come to our training, our NAPA training that's at their actual school. That's where we have our training. So I get to meet them through there and do mock interviews. So that's where we kind of find that pool to bring in. Actually, my lead tech now came from that tech school. And then he was invited to a lot of our training, got a job at a different facility, and then ended up coming to me due to I go to all the tech training in the city, so most all the technicians and young technicians coming up know me and knew that we had all the right equipment and that we spend a lot of money and involvement in the training, and that's what he was looking for.
Good stuff. Before you answer, Mike, just think about this. 100,000 plus shops. 600,000 on average technicians. What if every one of those shops took on a apprentice? Would we have a technician shortage in the next 2 or 3 years? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But you know what's really great is a technician shortage is really a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for our shops to get better at what we do, to actually see the need and provide these pathways for young people. And you know, the one thing that that I don't want to miss, I'm going to take this opportunity to speak on
while it's working.
Yeah, that's right. While it's working. So the human element is that you are providing a way for those technicians to finish well. You are providing an opportunity for young people to have a relationship with an old person, something that is desperately needed in our country.
Wisdom.
And so you get this relationship that I will tell you will never end. It will never end. Even if these guys go to different places, they will never forget one another. They'll never forget about the life that was poured into them or the opportunity they had to pour into someone else's lives. It's incredible. So we just can't miss this opportunity.
And that's such a great point because it does go both ways. My mentor has grown so much from being a mentor. He's a different person than he was when he first started. And at first he's like, I can't mentor people. I don't know how to do that. And now he doesn't want me to hire experienced technicians. He's like, no, let's hire apprentices. Let's grow them up. He's fully on board. He's a different human being now. So it is a two-way street, and everybody grows and benefits from it.
Great points. I remember Tony Amala from the vice president of ASA in his episode mentioned that he believes that the average master tech, ASE master tech, is maybe 50-something. So your point is so well taken. About maybe the average tech's age is maybe 40 to 45, but the guys have really done a great job, studied hard, and become, you know, super A techs. Oof. And you got to listen to Jerry Trulia's episode, the trainer. And in fact, we're going to do a live episode with him this next week. He talks about the evolution in age from C to B to A, and then how often an A needs to stay up to stay to be an A. It was a great episode with him. Very profound. He's a good guy. He talks great. You get just a fabulous episode with G Trulia. Yeah, we've covered an awful lot of great things here, and it's really opened up, I think, to be an episode way beyond my expectations. And I want to thank my audience. Yeah, I'm sorry for all the technical difficulties that we had. I will take this, chop it up, make it sound like nothing happened. As I try to repurpose both the video and the audio and then put this thing out in a great episode. So any final thoughts, anything burning that you say, I got to cover this before we leave?
I'm just excited about the whole opportunity.
Yeah, well, you just talked yourself into two new episodes here. I just want to let you know. Because we got to get the word out, man. We got to get the word out. Wow. Well, I thank you for being here. My friends of the podcast, please go on to remarkablereresults.biz/episodes if you want, and just look around and type in Mike Davidson or Joe Seifert or Bogey Latiner, and those episodes will come up, and enjoy, because they're smart, passionate industry people, and I appreciate you being on.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.